It's 4:06 and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up on Wisconsin Life, we'll talk about the ups and downs of winter in Wisconsin.
First, the state recently announced a new plan to protect pollinators here in Wisconsin, where more than 60% of bee colonies died off last year alone. With 35% of the world's food supply relying on pollinators, farmers and the state want to keep them around. So the Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection came up with a plan that includes increasing roadside planting and home gardens that are more bee-friendly.
But critics are saying that plan won't do much if it doesn't tackle a group of pesticides that are thought to seriously affect pollinators. Here to tell us more is Bridget Bowden, a Mike Simonson Investigative Fellow for WPR and the Center for Investigative Journalism. Her new report on bees and pesticides is available now at WPR.org. Bridget, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, before we get into criticism of this new plan, just spell out what's at stake here. How badly affected have bees been lately by a variety of problems, and how crucial are they to agriculture?
Yeah, so if you'll think back to your middle school science class, you'll remember that plants need to be pollinated, right? And so one way they can be pollinated is through bees flying around, buzzing around, collecting the pollen, flying to another flower, and spreading the pollen that way. So a lot of our crops are pollinated that way. Crops like apples and cranberries, cherries, a lot of other fruits and vegetables. They're really important. Bees and other pollinators are. As far as economic impact, roughly translates to about $55 million of Wisconsin's economy.
And then we've seen big years of colony collapses, colony die-offs. How bad are things here in Wisconsin over the last handful of years?
Things are pretty bad right now. Like you said earlier, just last year, 60% of our honeybee colonies died off. And that's pretty high. It's one of the highest rates of all 50 states. Just for some context, beekeepers say that 15% loss a year is what you should be seeing, and we saw 60.
And I saw in a chart from the Center for Investigative Journalism, most years for the last handful of years, we've been above, in some cases, well above that 15% threshold.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's get into this criticism of the new plan. Now, there's a new pollinator plan. It does a bunch of things, a habitat preservation, that sort of thing. But critics are saying, no, you're missing a big thing. What's the main point of criticism?
There's a couple of main points, actually. So the first that's a little bit easier to explain is that the plan is voluntary. There are no mandates or pilot programs or anything that, is definitely going to happen. It's all suggestions on ways to help the bees. And there is a lot of great information in the pollinator plan, a lot of things that homeowners can do, but it is voluntary. And then the second big criticism would be that it doesn't challenge the use of a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids. Some people call them neonics for short. And it's been shown that these pesticides can have a pretty devastating effect on pollinators.
And we've seen the use of this kind of pesticide rise a lot over the last bunch of years here in Wisconsin and around the country, right?
We have. Actually, if you look at the map, which is on WPR.org and also on WisconsinWatch.org, you can see how the use of certain neonics has grown since they were first introduced, and especially in states like Iowa, Wisconsin, really the states that you consider your corn belt. It's stunning how much the use of these chemicals has grown.
Talking to Bridget Bowden from WPR News and the Center for Investigative Journalism, looking at bees here in Wisconsin. A state plan aims to help them preserve pollinators in the state. Criticism, though, that the plan is voluntary, as we were just hearing, and doesn't go far enough when it comes to pesticides. So in the thinking about the problems facing bees, I know there's still a lot of question marks. Neonicotinoids seen as part of the problem, not necessarily a whole thing. People are looking at a lot of different causes for the bee problems.
Right, that is true. Every scientist that I spoke with told me that although we know that these pesticides do have an effect on pollinators such as bees, we are not 100% sure that pesticides are the smoking gun. There are a lot of other things going on that affect bees, such as habitat loss. If there's nowhere for the bees to live and forage, then they're not going to thrive. There have also been pathogens that we've seen around the country that have had a pretty serious effect on pollinators as well. So it could be a combination of things.
So pretty good idea, though, that it's at least part of the problem, it sounds like. So what are environmental critics? You quoted some organic farmers. What are they hoping to see when it comes to neonicotinoid pesticide use?
I definitely think that there is a group of people that would like to see neonics outlawed entirely, as far as whether or not that is realistic. Right now, the EPA has sort of halted the approval of new neonics, and they're reconsidering the use of the ones that are already on the market. So what they're doing is the EPA is researching effects a little more in depth than any research we've seen so far.
Now, one objection I've seen from in your reporting, actually, is that, well, these neonicotinoids often are being used to replace older pesticides that have known bad effects on humans and other mammals. So pick your poison, in a sense.
Well, yeah, I think it's important to note that, you know, we do have to produce food. And in agriculture, it's very important to manage pests. And pesticides is one way that you can do that. And these neonics, when they were first introduced in the 1990s, showed to be very effective pesticides. They're mostly used as seed coatings. So they sort of coat the seed, and then as the plant grows, they become a systemic part of the plant. They have been shown to be less toxic to mammals and humans than older pesticides, but there were some unintended effects like those we've seen on pollinators.
And between the current status quo, where we've seen, as you mentioned, growing use of these pesticides over the last handful of years, and on the other end, banning them outright, are people looking for any kind of middle ground, limited use or more selective use, anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. People are talking about limiting which crops neonics are used on. But the problem at hand is that the crops that are using neonics most heavily are corn and soybeans. But those two crops do not need bees or other pollinators. They're wind pollinated. So there's sort of an issue of the crops that are using the neonics are not the ones that need the bees. But there's really no way to tell the bees, don't go into that field.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And from what we know in the research on the effect of these pesticides, what does this pesticide do to bees?
So, like I said, they're called neonicotinoids. Mm. So they actually act like nicotine in the bee's brain, or the pollinator's brain. I should say it's not just bees. It's also butterflies, native bees, bumblebees. So it acts like nicotine in the bee's brain. And at certain doses, it can be toxic, fatal for the bees. And at other doses, it can mess with their navigation system. So all sorts of different effects.
So is there any sense that, I mean, you mentioned the EPA stopping research on new neonicotinoids. Is there any sense that any regulator, state or federal, might be looking at somehow limiting their use?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, the main crops that use neonics are corn and soybeans. So those are the big crops. Those are the big cash crops. So I think as we move forward, we're going to see some tension between corn and soy and those smaller fruit and vegetable producers that do need the bees.
Now, when this plan, this state pollinator protection program was rolled out a while back, we talked to one of the state administrators in charge of it, and he's hoping a part of it is publicity, getting the word out for those voluntary practices you mentioned. Do we have any sense whether the word's getting out, whether people are maybe this spring going to be planting in the ways they're talking about, changing their practices, or is it too soon to tell?
Well, I hope so. Like I said, there's a lot of great information in the plan, a lot of great information about what bees do, what kind of plants bees like. If you're interested in planting a home garden or that kind of thing, the plan will definitely tell you what to do. So yeah, hopefully it will spread awareness, like you said.
Bridget, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Bridget Bowden talking to us about the state's pollinator protection program and some of the challenges of restoring Wisconsin's bee and butterfly populations.